Well, it was March 13th of last year, and I was visiting some of the college students from our diocese in Wichita. When I got back to my car, turned on the radio, and heard that there was white smoke coming from the chimney at the Vatican. So I thought, what do I do now? So I called up the last college guy I saw, and I said, do you have a TV in your room? Sure he did. So I went back and we watched together my first memory of seeing Pope Francis. Well, I definitely wasn't the only one fascinated by the election of Pope Francis last year. Definitely much of the world, including many non-Catholics, were glued to the coverage. But what happened that day, for us in particular, is more than just the story of a humble man from Argentina. It was the continuation of a plan set in motion at a place called Caesarea Philippi, some 2,000 years ago. In fact, today's gospel, and the first reading for that matter, are key passages for understanding why the Catholic Church has been led by a pope from the very beginning to today. And we can understand why that is if we can answer two questions. What does it mean that Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter? And what does it mean that he gave him the keys to the kingdom? Well, the first thing to recognize is the unusual nature of Peter's new name. You see, we live in a day with Pete Sampras and Peter Jennings and Pedro Martinez and even Peter Pan. And so we don't even realize that until Jesus changed Simon's name, no one had ever been called Peter. Ever. Because the word Peter, or in the language Jesus spoke, it was Kepha, the word Peter means rock. You know, it would be like changing my name to cucumber or calendar. It was never meant to be a name for a person. Although today I wouldn't rule that out. I baptize you, saxophone, in the name of the Father and of the Son. But it was never meant to be a person's name. So when we hear, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, what Jesus really said is, you are rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus went out of his way to name Peter the rock and then say that he will build his church on Peter the rock. And we see that constantly played out throughout the Gospels, where Peter is set apart from the other apostles, either in the way he's treated, or in the decisions he makes, or even just in how the gospel writers refer to the 12. Peter and the others, Peter and the 11. And so even before Jesus left this earth to return to his Father, but more so afterwards. Peter was recognized as the visible source of unity, representing those who believe in Jesus Christ. So it's clear that Jesus set Peter in a special role with regard to the church. But what does that mean? And this is where the second part of the gospel is significant. What does it mean that Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Now, you don't get keys for nothing unless you're the pastor of the cathedral. You see, since the first week in February, I've been carrying around this ring of four keys. This one's for the church, this one's for the school, this one's for the fire alarm, and this one is for something. Something. That's a long time to be carrying around a key that you don't know what to do with. But when Jesus gave to Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven and said, "What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven," it was anything but insignificant. Numerous scholars have concluded that when Jesus made that statement, he was undoubtedly thinking about Isaiah chapter 22, our first reading this morning. Listen to the similarity. The Lord says in the first reading, "I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut, and when he shuts, no one shall open." Eliakim was not the king. He was the prime minister. And so he would care for the kingdom on behalf of the king. And not only that, but the key to the house of David was passed on from successor to successor to successor. Now, my key goes nowhere. But when Jesus said to Peter, "I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," he didn't make him king. No, there's only one king. But he did make Peter and his successors the visible head of his kingdom on earth. So we're living in a time where much of the world is fascinated by our Holy Father, Pope Francis. Every photo, every interview carries a lot of weight, as I guess it should. After all, when Jesus established his kingdom on earth, he promised to be with us always. Now, he does that in many ways. Make no mistake. But from the point that he started changing names and giving keys, we knew that Peter and his successors would be one way that we could always count on.